Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Wednesday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Tuesday. Andrew Dickens still on about being worried about building safety here in New Zealand. Labor probably still worried about the fact that they can't get a decent poll going. We've got an earthquake, or have we? Marcus seems sceptical, and Kerry's homemade horse. But before any of that, the man who donated everyone a hospital.
You don't see this sort of thing in New Zealand. Other places overseas, they, you know, in other countries, they have a lot of philanthropy, a lot of rich people give money to various causes and what have you, but not so much here. Well, there's a bit of history to that. One is that we're a small country. That means we don't have a lot of very wealthy people. We've got more now than we used to, but we don't have a lot of very, very wealthy people, mega wealthy. The other is that we have a system here called taxation, called social benefits, called charity falls on the other side, called welfare. And governments take care of these things, and that's what we expect. For somebody to donate $50 million to a children's hospital is quite unusual. We expect the government to do that sort of thing and get on with it. But they weren't. So this man decided that he would. And like I say, that's the way that it's supposed to work. The other reason, by the way, is that I think that there is a lot of giving in this country by people with more money than most of us, and it's done under the table. I don't mean illicitly, I just mean on the quiet, because they don't want the publicity. That's the very nature of some of these people. And that's how charity should work. But we are denying ourselves a lot of that by the welfare state in which we live.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? We don't sort of see more of this thing. I can't help thinking that the super rich should buy more hospitals and less super yachts and flash houses and things. That doesn't seem like too much to ask. There's probably something wrong with that system. I just can't figure it out at the moment. Meanwhile, Andrew Dickens thinks there's something wrong with building safety here in New Zealand, and he's really been harping on about this.
So I said in this that if this fire issue is true, I'm going to be livid. We heard yesterday of 34 elderly residents in a rest home in Oraki built in the past 20 years evacuated from their leaky building, which is now failing fire regulations because of structural weakness. There's a problem. I heard of another one 2 months ago of a multi-level apartment building with firewalls between the apartments on each level, but none between the floors, meaning fire could just go straight up through the ceiling. It's the subject of a multi-million dollar remediation. If we have apartment buildings and terraced houses that don't meet fire regulations, then this is a greater travesty than the leaky home building, because people die horrifically in a fire, but not from a leak. There is no excuse for it. Man has known you have to control fire since the beginning of time, and every builder should be aware of what needs to be in place, no matter what some superior says. No matter what an architect says, a builder shouldn't do this. But I see the problems and the difficulties. The leaky building scandal strained the credibility of the building industry. If we have a fireproof fiasco along similar lines, then credibility will be completely shot.
So Andrew Dickens making some kind of link between leaky buildings and flammable buildings. Have we buggered this up by fixing the leaky building issue? Have we created a fiery building issue? Was one countering, because obviously if your building's full of water, it's probably less likely to catch fire. Now that we've dried them out, they're going to go up like kindling. I think have we buggered that up? Are we trying to fix one problem, we've created another one? I'm not sure there. Now, Labor, in trying to fix their problem of popularity, or lack of, they've stuck Jacinda Ardern on their billboards, and it's a bit confusing because we like her better than Andrew Little, don't we?
I want to talk to you quickly too about the latest Colmar Brunton poll. You're ahead of Andrew Little as preferred leader. How can Labor win this election when Andrew Little's behind not just Bill English but also Winston Peters and yourself?
Well, of course, you know, party vote is what delivers who will ultimately be in the position.
Leaders
of being
are important, though, Ms. Ardern.
Oh, Yeah, look, of course. But, you know, we've also got to keep in mind that a lot can change in a very short period of time. And what I really hope is that voters will see, you know, the character that Andrew has. And putting up a package like this, he's showing where his priorities are relative to Bill English's. And, you know, I hope that that's something that voters say, look, there's a guy who's just willing to do the right thing. And is showing where ultimately Labor's priorities are too.
Yeah, she is. Jacinda really is Cinderella to Andrew Little's ugly sister, isn't she? I mean, she's not even supposed to be at the ball, turns up in a pumpkin and completely steals the show. I mean, you'd have to say that Mr. Little can't be that happy about that. Does that analogy work? Is the glass slipper in this analogy the vote of New Zealand? I'm trying to make it work. It's not really working, so let's move on quickly to the earthquake, that which may or may not have happened.
I watched the news. I watched the weather, concerned about the snow that's heading our way, wanted to get the vibe, and left the studios in Invercargill at 7 o'clock to go for a walk. And I walked briskly for 40 minutes, and I thought I'd look at the phone. I'd missed a call from people in the newsrooms looking to find up about this earthquake. The 6.4 quake that had hit the Snares that was widely felt in Invercargill. Either I am insensitive or it's fake news. Felt absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. There was no shaking. There was nothing. And I would have thought if I was out and about walking, I would have, they're calling it a 6.4. Nothing whatsoever. No eerie silence, no animals howling, nothing. So I wonder if there's people out there claiming to feel earthquakes that they haven't felt, just because they want to be counted. Because I certainly felt nothing whatsoever. If you did feel that quake in Invercargill, do let me know, because I certainly didn't feel it. And people are claiming online to feel it, and Blenheim and Picton and Christchurch all over the show. But I'm saying it wasn't felt. And I've always seen myself as being the human seismometer. I always thought I've been a great detector of earthquakes, but no, that one, no recollection, no vibes, nothing from that whatsoever. I wouldn't mind if you have got or did feel the quake to let me know what you thought. I was surprised and saddened that I didn't feel it myself, because I enjoy a good shake.
Yeah, it's an age-old question, isn't it? If an earthquake happens in the South Island and Marcus Lush doesn't feel it, did it really happen at all? So, I think philosophers have been trying to get to the bottom of that one for a long time. We're going to finish up talking about Kerry's homemade horse. I said that, and now I'm just quickly checking the email again. Mark tells Neva about Kerry's homemade horse, Fanta, and her riding it. I don't think I've given away too much information there.
Neva, were you aware that Kerry used to have a make-believe horse called Fanta?
Really?
No.
I did not know. How old were you? Five?
Seven.
Seven?
We've just been... I mean, Fanta. We should have been listening to your amazing headlines, but really what I've been doing is laughing about...
I think I'd rather hear about Kerry's. And what did you and Fanta do?
Well, we had lots of adventures. To all intents and purposes, we never left the backyard of 44 Tongarero Place in Turangi. But Fanta and I, in my mind, went many, many places. I just used to bounce up and down on top of the plank.
So it was a plank that used to sit on top of the fence and the...
And the wooden picnic table. And then I used to put a blanket over, which was my saddle.
Ah, yes, that does make sense.
Oh,
yes.
That would have been a lot of fun. See, I loved doing the tents when I was five.
Mm. Yes, you know. I would do the tents. We also had trolleys, really cool trolleys, and we had trolley races.
Oh, what kind of trolleys?
Like homemade ones, proper homemade ones. They were really cool.
Oh,
but
dear.
That took serious time away from Fanta, so I had to think very seriously about where the trolleys were going and what. We also used to catch tadpoles down at the river. Imagine a whole group of 7 and 8 year olds being allowed to go down to the river and catch frogs.
You wouldn't do it now, would you?
No, frogs and tadpoles. And in fact, you were positively encouraged to go down to the river.
I think that's a great name, Fanta.
Thank you. It was a Palomino.
Oh, cute.
Mm.
I don't like horses. I didn't really fantasize about horses.
Oh, no, I loved horses. I'm still going to have a horse before I die, but I am running out of time.
I suppose your listeners are sick of us talking about Fanta. I don't think so.
I feel like, as I said to Kerry in the break after we found out about Fanta, I was like, this is my favourite Kerry story so far this week.
And I feel
like Fanta is going to make a few appearances between now and I don't know.
But you mustn't mock Fanta because he's very
mocking,
real to me.
I'm not mocking Fanta.
Okay.
I think it's great.
Good. Mm. Thanks. I am still going to have Fanta.
And she can still see him now.
I can.
Is it a him or her?
Yes, a him, a girl. Okay. It was beautiful.
Well, that was sort of false advertising, I reckon, because it wasn't really a homemade horse. An imaginary horse is... I think an imaginary horse is different to a homemade horse. A homemade horse is a thing. An imaginary horse isn't. I've got too technical with the difference between a homemade horse and an imaginary horse, I think. So we'll leave that there. It's quite a good News Talk's been today. I'm quite proud of that one. I mean, I'm always proud of them. I wouldn't publish them if I wasn't. But that one, particularly proud. I'll see what I can do for you at the same time tomorrow. I'm Glenn Z. Beat. See you there.